Hello everyone and welcome to JTalk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host Mike Innes and in this episode I'll be continuing the 2023 season previews, the second of four pods covering the 20 teams in the division this year, with some comment on their pre-seasons, transfer ins and outs and some predictions as to what lies ahead. Let's jump straight in with AC Nagano Parceiro, still the biggest J-League club never to have made it out of J3. But could that be about to change as Nagano look forward to their second season under Yuki Stauff? Indeed, Jovial John Steele jumps straight in with a question about the Parceiro coach. Were you surprised that Stauff was kept on, he asks. Overall, the club headed in the right direction in 2022, not the finished article, but nevertheless starting to take shape. And as such, having successfully done some of the groundwork last year, I think it's reasonable the coach remains in charge to take the project forward. Going into the new season then, Stauff has some problems to solve, but he also has options throughout the squad. Starting from the back, last year's first choice goalkeeper Issei Oichi has moved on after his loan spell ended, with Kim Minho and Sorki Yatagai set to fight it out as to who'll take his place. Defensive stability was an issue last year and since then Nagano have lost left wing-back Takuma Mizutani to Blaublitz Akita. Kazuya Tsunamori, a signing from Kagoshima United, seems the obvious replacement, and another incomer set to slot into a back three is Yuya Ono, following his shock release by Matsumoto Yamaga. Stauff retains a preference for using trusted players from previous club YSCC, which means Hiroto Ikegaya keeping his place in defence, and Yuta Sato and Yuma Funabashi in a midfield three, potentially joined by yet another ex-YSCC player, Shoma Otoizumi on the left, a loanee from Mito Hollyhock. But the team's one to watch is Leo Yamanaka in attacking midfield, an exciting prospect who made a big impact towards the end of last year. He came through the ranks at Parceiro before going to university. This will be his second season in the squad. The wide attacking positions would seem to be carved up between Yuki Morikawa on the left and Takashi Kondo, surprisingly let go by Ehime FC on the right, but resolving the puzzle of the centre-forward role looks key to Nagano's prospects. Hard-working Hiroki Yamamoto did a job after coming into the side midway through last season, but he somehow doesn't give off promotion-winning vibes. Will Kohei Shin, with Kondo at Ehime last year, somehow click? Or how about rookie Anima Aoki from Matsumoto University? Or Kento Takakubo, returning to the club following a loan spell in the regional leagues, during which he scored 10 in only 7 starts? These are the pieces in Yuki Stauff's jigsaw, which likely depicts an improvement on last year's 8th-placed finish. Contenders for promotion? Could be. Only one place to go next, and that's Matsumoto Yamaga, who in 2022 aimed to bounce straight back up to J2, only to throw away too many points in the final weeks of the season to end up 4th. Coach Hiroshi Nanami stepped down, followed out of the club by star striker Ayumu Yokoyama, who heads to J1 and Sagan Toss, and the midfield duo Ryo Toyama and Kazuhiro Sato taking shortcuts to J2 via Tokushima Vortis and Vanfore Corfu, respectively. And so, Yamaga face a second season in J3. The potential nightmare for everyone at the club is they may end up stuck in the third tier, and a temporary embarrassment will become, in time, a lived reality, a steady state, simply what Matsumoto Yamaga are. How costly do you think Matsumoto's failure to get promoted will be? Asks Kanazawa Dreamin. And it's the front office who'll be dwelling on that exact point. My view is it has the potential to be very costly indeed, especially given the people who've made the decisions that got Yamaga into this mess have appointed as coach Masahiro Shimoda, whose reputation at club level is based on making the most of modest means at Renofa Yamaguchi. Many people will have Matsumoto down as one of the favourites for promotion, and of course that's perfectly possible. They have good players like Victor in goal, central midfielder Paulinho and Yusuke Kikui playing just off the strikers. But the thing is, I just don't think Shimoda has in his career demonstrated he's the coach to turn things around, to inspire the squad and the fans, to give them the belief they can win games, bully the opposition, make the Alwyn Stadium a hostile setting. The squad looks a downgrade on last season. They'll need goals from at least one of the perpetually disappointing Ren Komatsu, returning loanee Kunitomo Suzuki, or incoming 36-year-old Kazuma Watanabe, or maybe one of the youngsters, Sora Tanaka, 18, conceivably Yamaga's one to watch. It's Gianamoto or the untried Brazilian Lucas Hian, replacement for the luckless Lucao. Matsumoto, more than most clubs, need a player to emerge from the squad and pull his teammates onwards, to give them a spark, a sense of direction and confidence. Otherwise, there's the feeling Yamaga's stay among the lesser lights of the J-League could indeed turn out to be longer term. Another team who, like Nagano and Matsumoto, would count themselves among the division's promotion hopefuls are Katari Toyama. Sixth place finishers last year, never quite close enough to the promotion spots to count as real contenders. Michiharu Otageri remains as coach for his first full season in charge, and he'll be working with a pretty stable squad. Keeper Genki Yamada is off at the end of his loan. Defender Shoma Kamata has retired. Wide midfielder Yuma Matsumoto didn't catch my eye, but FC Imabari must have seen something and he's heading to join them in Shikoku. Meanwhile, coming into the club are central midfielder Hiroyuki Tsubokawa, a steal after he was surprisingly released by Paseiro, and big centre-back Ryusei Shimodo moves from Vanrare Hachinohe. Both of those players should see plenty of minutes alongside captain Makoto Rindo as Otagiri looks to improve a somewhat leaky Toyama defence. To that end, I'll be keeping a close watch out for Daichi Omori, an exciting-looking left wing-back from Albirex Niigata, Singapore. There may be two to watch over on the right-hand side where Otagiri looks like he'll have a nice problem to deal with. Regular listeners may recall in the latter stages of last season, Daichi Matsuoka put in a string of excellent performances based on his ability to run at defenders and set up chances. Katari fans have high hopes for left-footed Matsuoka, and this could be a breakout season for him, although waiting in the wings may be Takumi Ito, outstanding for Torquay Gakuen University last year. Having been on the subs bench for most of the last three seasons, Kazuki Saito looks set to take over in goal from the departed Yamada, although veteran Takahiro Shibasaki has signed from SC Sagamihara as cover. Other than that, it looks like more of the same for Toyama, as the likes of Shota Kawanishi, Shunta Takahashi and Naoto Ando all stay on, alongside Arthur Silva, whose loan from FC Tokyo has been extended, and supporters must surely be hoping for a more impactful season from him. This time last year, Katari were making a concerted effort to gain promotion. Now, it all seems rather more subdued, whether for budgetary reasons or not. I sense Otagiri may try to blood more younger players as the season progresses. For instance, Gabriel Henrique, after he's recovered from long-term injury. But for Toyama, it's looking like another year just off the pace. J-Talk Extra Time. Azul Claro Numazu underwent a turbulent 2022 with concerns over the club's ability to retain a J3 licence seen off thanks to a crowdfunding campaign, the dismissal of coach Masataka Imai, the shock sale of star striker Ryo Watanabe to neighbours Fujieda My FC, and the team's gradual slide down the table to finish 15th. The introduction of relegation from J3 in 2023 is a pressure Azul Claro can do without, but it's also something they can't ignore. Ahead of this crucial year, then, taking charge is former national team legend Masashi Nakayama, who moves from the staff at Jubilo Iwata and brings with him Hideto Suzuki as his right-hand man. Like Kazuyuki Toda at Sagamihana, another club looking at a vital season, Nakayama may be a big name, but he has no experience leading a J-League team. I think his appointment is a risk, a gamble, an unknown, especially in the light of the clear improvements that have taken place at another club who would normally be expected to struggle. More on them in the next episode. So what have the changes been over the winter on the playing side? Numazu have lost two first-teamers from last year, utility midfielder Kosei Uryu, who after a couple of up-and-down seasons has accepted an offer to return to the JFL, and Beraspa Oita, while right-sided midfielder Ryoma Kita, who showed flashes of inspiration, has gone to fight for his place at FC Gifu. Nakayama has retained most of the team's high performers, Tatsuya Anzai, Takumi Hama, Captain Takuya Sugai, names that will be familiar to regular listeners. When it comes to new players, Kyota Mochi, loaned from Tokyo Verdy, can play the same variety of roles as Uryu, and there are a couple of classic J3 rolls of the dice in 21-year-old defender Raul Sudati from Brazil and midfielder Masato Shimokawa, 26, whose post-university football has been played entirely in Montenegro and Korea. Among the Numazu supports, much attention is on speedy 18-year-old forward Aoi Ando, playing his rookie season with Azul Claro on loan from Shimizu S-Pulse, with some fans excited by the hit rate of a trio of attacking players loaned out by Shimizu last year, Kanta Chiba at FC Imabari, Hikaru Naruoka at Renofa Yamaguchi, and Akira Silvano Di Salo at Montedio Yamagata. Can Ando follow in the footsteps of those players, they wonder? Numazu haven't had anyone hit double digits since 2017, and they need a goal threat from somewhere. Noah Kenshin Brown, for instance, has 4 in 4 years. Coach Nakayama may inspire, he may be a miracle worker, but the more probable outcome for Azul Claro is a season spent fighting against the drop. Finally this week, can it really be true? There might be positive things to say about FC Gifu. The club have certainly acted decisively in dealing with the disastrous Veterans First strategy of 2022, which saw them sign a swathe of older players from J1 and J2, only for virtually all of them to underperform on the way to a 14th placed finish. The average age of the players who've left over the winter is almost 31. Of those who've come to the club, it's 23. And whisper it, it looks like Gifu may be building a squad well able to deal with the challenges of a J3 season. Certainly, they've signed some decent quality J3 players. Keeper Shu Mogi joins on a permanent deal from Cerezo Osaka after having been excellent on loan at Imabari last year. Genichi Endo from Kamatamari Sanuki knows his way around organising a J3 defence. Yuya Taguchi had a quiet season at Gainare Tottori, but the 21-year-old forward has still got time to realise his potential. There are 7 players signed straight out of university, and of them, Cordai Hagino looks like he might get a chance at centre-back, while a clear candidate for one to watch is Akito Ueno, 18 goals and 7 assists in the Kansai University League, unsurprisingly named among the league's best 11. That name again, Akito Ueno. There are still some of the old duffers clogging the place up. I mean, I don't want to see Junior Tanaka in a green shirt again, so I can only wonder how Gifu fans feel about that prospect. But by some miracle, they've been able to retain 16-goal forward Kosuke Fujioka, without question one of the best finishers in J3 last year. And hopefully we'll get more of a chance to see flying winger Ryo Kubota, whose loan from Zvegan Kanazawa has been made permanent. Kubota is one of those players who seems to have been around for years, but he's still only 22. And my feeling is a good run in the starting 11 could see him truly make his mark in the division. Overseeing all this is Yusaku Ueno, who's just ended a couple of years on the staff of the national team, and prior to that held various coaching positions at Urawa Reds. Another example of someone moving into their first role as the person in charge, and while elsewhere in these previews I haven't been very positive about such appointments, Gifu's approach to recruitment for this season would seem to give Ueno a better than fighting chance. To jump from 14th to a promotion spot would be an achievement indeed, but I don't see why Gifu shouldn't be in with a shout of a place in the top 5. In the next episode, I'll be previewing 5 more clubs ahead of the start of J3 2023. The 2 J-League newcomers, FC Osaka and Nara Club, together with Gainare Tottori, Kamatamari Sanuki, and FC Imabari. Your questions on those clubs are invited via the usual means. But with all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.